many of them revolved about one of the messages I conveyed in my presentation, which was, and also the colleague from UNICEF made a very similar point when referring to the Global South, is the importance of understanding the differences that this type of technology facilitated gender-based violence takes in different contexts and settings. I was also adding to that, yes, that it is important to understand the difference in countries, contexts, and settings in order to craft more appropriate responses. However, it is also important to highlight that irrespective of context, we will always find some common threats in terms of the structures that contribute, or the structural factors that contribute to perpetuate any form of gender-based violence. I was citing patriarchal systems, negative social and gender norms, and intersectional discrimination. So, first of all, when asked about humanitarian settings, obviously, what I was saying before prevails. No, when we are, we need to understand how this form of violence manifests in humanitarian situations to be able to draft to craft responses. In UNFPA, where we have a huge country presence in 130 countries, many of which under humanitarian situations, we don't dissociate our work in the development and the humanitarian field. We is what we call the nexus, not between the humanitarian and development, the humanitarian development nexus in our interventions, but it is true that we are going to find some specificities that are important. In particularly, I think when we're talking about technology facilitated gender-based violence, realizing that this type of violence is not physically found in one place, that it becomes immaterial in the sense that it can be exercised remotely. And I think my colleague from UNICEF was alluding to that in her intervention. So we are finding that especially women in the move, you know, when we are talking about women refugees, asylum seekers, or simply that have to move from country to country due to a humanitarian crisis, and who were already facing gender-based violence at home, they can continue to be stalled, no, by the perpetrators, irrespective to the country where they move or to the setting in which they are going to be installed. This is just one example. We can also talk about tracking devices and drones or other type of technologies, which in humanitarian settings could also target women by virtue of their gender. Well, UNFPA is leading the area of responsibility on gender-based violence as part of the Interagency Standing Committee, and I will be in contact with my colleagues from that area to gather additional information on how this manifests in humanitarian settings. Now, moving on to the issue of intersectionality. Now, I think it is very important the racialization of technology-facilitated violence. Precisely what I was saying, you know, when we look at the structural factors, we are going to see that those contribute to intersectional discrimination, the manifestation of intersectional discrimination, not only because of race, but also because of age. You know, and we have seen how, for instance, youth female activists in the climate change area, just to give an example, have also been targeted in the context of technology-facilitated gender-based violence. In electoral context or political context, we also have seen what happens sometimes with female black candidates, no, in elections, no, so without the need to cite the concrete examples that we could all have in our minds. So definitely intersectionality is important, because when we are addressing negative patriarchal or discriminatory patriarchal norms, when we are addressing negative social and gender norms, we also need to look at those forms of discrimination based on gender, on age, on disability, on race, and so forth. So I will stop there, because I don't know if someone else wants to answer. Thank you.
Consulto, adelante.